But we're gonna be bouncing around a little bit. In my own personal study time, I've been going through the major prophets. I've been going through reading through the Bible, and right now I'm in Ezekiel, but I read through Isaiah and then Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and I'm noticing these kind of common threads that are sticking out that maybe I never really noticed before, or that are more that stick out more to me now, you know, with the current events and things that are going on in the world. And as I've been going through most of these books, especially the three, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all deal with the Babylonian captivity, about the judgment that God is going to pour out on the nation of Israel at the hand of Babylon, and primarily by the hand of Babylon, by some of the other people groups, but it's primarily dealing with them. So in Isaiah is kind of before the captivity, when kind of looking forward to when all these things are going to take place, and the Lord could say, you know, hey, ask your idol what's going to happen, and hey, let's reason together here, you know. And so he talks about the captivity and what's going to happen and how the Lord is going to judge them. And Jeremiah is kind of during, just before and during the captivity. And I think it's Jeremiah 39 where Jeremiah is actually taken and removed to Babylon. And the Lord takes care of him there and gives him favor, but they get removed and they move over to Babylon. And Ezekiel kind of is during the captivity. His ministry was to the, and all these guys, their ministry was to be prophets to the nation of Israel. And Ezekiel, he was kind of during the captivity and looking back at the captivity and everything that was going on there, and what kind of led them up to it. And as I've been reading, I'm right now in Ezekiel, and maybe it's standing out more, but it keeps getting the feeling of it in God's words and the way he's feeling about the sin of his people keeps getting more descriptive, I guess. It keeps getting worse and worse. It sounds like God's getting real mean. He's getting meaner all the time. And you get into Ezekiel, and he's bringing his judgment down. And we'll read a little bit about that. But as I read through there, and I look at our country, and I say, wow. We're not a lot different, and we're not doing things a lot different than what they were. But let's start off. These are some of the characteristics. Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to take a flying trip through these three prophets, these three books. I'm going to start Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. And this is kind of, well, I'm going to go over some of the things that led up to God's dealing with them, with the nation of Israel, by Babylon. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Flip over to the next page, chapter 2, verse 7. It said, "Their land is also full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands that their own fingers have made." And say, wow, that certainly describes us too. You know, our country, we're blessed. There's no end to our treasures. I mean, we throw away more than what some of these countries have to start with, you know, and it's pretty crazy. Isaiah chapter 5. Flip over a couple more pages. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up to as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Flip over to Isaiah chapter 17. Over a couple pages. Chapter 17, verse 10. Isaiah speaks through the Lord. He says, "Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation and has not been mindful of the rock of thy strength." That's why these things are coming on them. And a lot of, as we go through, what you'll notice is the nation of Israel and the children of Israel are all going, "Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to us? What's going on?" And God in his mercy over and over again says, "Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, because you've not been mindful of the rock of thy strength." He keeps going over, "You've forgotten me. You have turned and done your own thing and wanted to do your own stuff, and that's why this judgment, you haven't listened to me at all." You know, it's with our kids, we know it's the same way. Like, why did that stove burn me? Why did that stove hurt me? Well, because you touched it when I told you not to. And you know, it's, and the Lord deals with us as children. We'll see that too as we go down through. But keep flipping to Isaiah chapter 29. Verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Isaiah 59. Go a long ways over to the right. Isaiah 59, verse 3. The Lord says, "For your hands are defiled with blood." Why is this happening to us? Why are we going through this? "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." And Isaiah 65, verse 12. He says, "You shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not." And, you know, as the, like we do there with our children, with our kids, "You didn't listen to me. Why is this happening? You hate me." No, it's because you didn't listen to me. You didn't listen. I would have spared you that, but you didn't listen. You need to listen. And the Lord is saying that too. And we'll see too that the Lord's heart isn't to crush these guys. I mean, if you read some of the verses, if you pull them out, we'll see in Ezekiel, he really gets like, wow, God is really mean. I mean, he's really got strong words about all this. But it's, and the Lord has a right to be, because it isn't the people that he's frustrated with them, like we are with our kids, you know, like,
I told you not to do that, and you still did it, and you hurt yourself. You sit down in the chair. How many times have I had to tell you? You fall out of the chair and break your neck. So God does the same thing. He's like, oh, man, I would spare you. But let's go to the Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah is known as the, you know, a lot of people call him the weeping prophet. And really, as I was reading through, there wasn't actually too many times where he was actually, you know, crying and weeping for the people. But in Lamentations, you know, it sounded kind of whiny and crying. But in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 11, he says, "Then thou shalt say unto them," because when they asked, "Why is this happening to me?" "Thou shalt say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." Chapter 22, Jeremiah. Verse 21. "I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou said, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice." Sounds a lot like us sometimes. Sounds like a lot like our kids, and we're not all that much different. Jeremiah 32, verse 33. "Why is all this stuff happening? Well, they've turned their back to me and not the face. They haven't even looked me in the face. They've turned their back to me and not their face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction." Flip over a couple pages to Jeremiah 35:17. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, and they have not heard. I have called unto them, but they have not answered." And the last verse in Jeremiah, verse 44, chapter 44, verse 10. Lord has spoken to them and called to them to, you know, cried out for them to hearken and listen. Verse 10, "They're not humbled, even unto this day. Neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers." So I look at the nation of Israel, and I look at us. I look at the U.S., the church in this country, and say, "Wow, there's some similarities there." You know, especially with those who should know better, with us. We'll go into Ezekiel chapter 5. Over Ezekiel chapter 5. Verse 6. And again, the Lord answers the question, well, why is this happening? "Well, she has changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her, for they have refused my judgments and my statutes and have not walked in them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because ye multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee, and I will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. And then it gets kind of ugly if you read like in verse 11 there, if you keep on going, it says, "Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord, surely thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations. Therefore will I also diminish thee. Neither shall mine eye spare thee, neither will I have pity. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with the famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make thee waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt and instruction and an astonishment unto all the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken it." Like, whoa. You know, fury and furious rebukes, and the Lord is mad. He is gonna clean house, and it's because his love for his people. It's the sin that he's angry about. The sin. It's not the people. The Lord wants to forgive. And back in Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 2, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house." And he's talking to Jeremiah. And this is the Lord's heart. Through this, all of this, you know, the Lord has to judge sin. And he can't let it go. And he's furious because of the sin. And he says, "Thus saith the Lord," stand to Jeremiah, "stand in the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, and all the words that I command thee to speak to them, diminish not a word. If so be that they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I propose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings." He wants to forgive. He wants them to turn, to repent. Turn, forsake that stuff, and follow me. Come and follow after me, and I'll take care of all that. I'll wipe all that away. And so you can see the heart of the Father there, and he has to deal with sin, but man, he wants his kids to turn. I know we've been wrestling a lot with Isabel. She's become very willful, a little child and a little human, and I'm not real excited about disciplining her, but I know that it's necessary, and I know that if I don't deal with it now and deal with it harshly, that it will continue to propagate and it will be a problem for a lot longer. And I see that with the Lord too. He wants to deal with it now and deal with it sharply and have it be taken care of, so that it's not hurting, it's not messing with his kids. But that's his heart. But as you go back through all this and you see all of what Israel is being judged for, this is why you're going into captivity. This is why I'm giving you a spank on the butt, because you didn't listen to me. I told you not to do that. I told you to follow me, obey me, listen to me. I love you, and these are things are for your good. And when I look and I read through all of that, these are all the reasons why judgment was coming. Wow. That's us. You know, that's me. You know, wow, that we're due. And you know, you heard that sound bite from Billy Graham. You know, if the Lord doesn't judge the United States, then he's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. You know, I mean, we're really, we deserve everything that he wants to dish out to us, because we've turned from him. So
I mean, some of this looks like the front page. I mean, every time you pick up the newspaper or you look online and check out the news stuff that's going on there, you're like, wow, man, that's us. And, you know, our judgment is certainly way overdue. But at the same time, you know, we're a fairly well-fed church. You know, it's a blessing that that the Lord has done a work here, and that Pastor Steve has a hunger and a desire for God's word and a desire to teach it and make sure that anybody who sits under him knows that God's word is true and that God loves them and that God will deal with sin. And there's a way for us to be right with him and to be saved. And so we know those things. And we know that as we read through, that time is kind of wrapping up for us too. I mean, you see the signs of the times, the things that are coming. Jesus held the people in his day, the Jews that were in his day, held them accountable to know Scripture. You know, that where he said, if you had only known this your day, he said, I would have gathered you together. I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And if you'd only known. And as we know, we look back through and we just finished up Daniel, and wow, Daniel lays right out to the day when Jesus would come in and say that very thing, say that very phrase, if you'd only known. It's here. It's you can discern the, you know, the signs of the time of the weather, and but you can't tell the signs of the times, and the Lord has blessed us by giving us good teachers and by revealing His word to us, opening it up to us, and so we know that times are getting short, and we know that judgment is way overdue for us. And as we go and we look in Scripture, the Scriptures are conspicuously silent, you know, in the end times events about the U.S. You don't see the United States in there. Well, there's some places where you could maybe, you know, figuratively look at, you know, some different spots where maybe there's a reference to the United States or North America or whatever, you know, different things. But there are some players that are clearly laid out in Ezekiel chapter 37, 38, Zephaniah 2. There's some really, there could be some concern to be kind of nervous about that. You know, why is it that the U.S. isn't really involved in all that end time stuff? Well, is it because we're the military superpower of the world? We're all, you know, I mean, how could we not be? We know things are kind of wrapping up, and when you look at end times, before 1948, if you started to talk about Jesus Christ coming back and Jesus creating his kingdom on this earth, if you talked about it much before 1948, it's kind of premature, because Israel, the literal Israel, wasn't a nation before that time. So, wow, the blossoming of the fig tree, the nation of Israel, literal Israel, in the land where God gave the land to them. Back in Jerusalem, they had the city in the 60s. So they're there. And we don't see much about us there. Whether it's maybe that we get raptured out before things start really getting hot there, or whether we're being judged. I mean, who knows? You know, the economy is spiraling downward, and all the things. You know, maybe that's a way that God is going to choose to judge us. So it's easy to say, wow, man, oh man, what do I need to do? How do I get prepared for this? I mean, what do I do? And you know, I mean, you would see in the news, you see like Iran getting missiles from Russia, and launching them out of container vessels that are in cargo ships, you know, and they're just, you know, they're training exercises. That's what they're doing. But they're launching, and as they're working on their nuclear reactors for nuclear energy, yeah, right, nuclear warhead. So, you know, I mean, crazy things. I mean, those are all, you know, causes for concern. Well, one thing you can do is you can build a bunker, like Steve. I think he still has the plans for that from his wife, and I think he still has toilet paper that for that matter from Y2K. So you know, you can, no, just kidding. Our job doesn't change. Our mission, our goal, our marching orders haven't changed. They stay the same. They don't change depending on what the economic situation of our country is, or what anything else. All of the current events, the Lord has given us a job to do, to know Him and to make Him known. When I, you know, a lot of people will ask, well, what's God's will? What's the Lord's will for my life? And I always like to refer back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, 17, and 18. The Lord says through Paul, or Paul says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So you want to know, well, what's the will of God? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's pretty neat. It's, well, but no, what is the will of God? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And we don't need to be worried about what's going to happen with the economy. Well, should I take all the money out of the 401k, or should I just try to wait for it to rebound, should I buy ammo? Should I buy guns? Should I stockpile food? You know, beans, rice, non-perishables, toilet paper. I don't want to have to use birch bark or something like that. If we're going to rough it, if the economy crashes and we're, well, a wise man, you know, if he sees, you know, things coming, you know, prepares himself. But it's not like, if you know hard times are coming, it's kind of like if I knew I was going to, you know, lose my job next month, then I probably wouldn't go out on vacation, and I probably wouldn't, go and, make any big purchases or, you know, something like that. But, I'm not going to go and, buy 10,000 rounds of AR-15 shells and get an AR-15 and dig a bunker and crawl in it. The Lord's going to take care of things. But you think, well, how? Well, how? Well, why? You know, ask some of us. You know, all of us have a story to tell, and of times where we're like, wow, the Lord, I'm in a tough spot, and I don't know how in the world I'm going to ever get out of this. And the Lord has always provided. He's always, and so, you know, ask any one of us, Lord, and those who walk with the Lord longer have even better stories to tell about how the Lord is taking care of things. So we don't really need to be worried about that. But one of the things that we should be doing is we should be, number one, knowing what this says, knowing what the Word says, and then knowing what's going on around us. It's a great opportunity to be able to share with people. I know, you know, the folks that I work with, the guys that I spend, you know, the majority of my time with, probably, you know, almost as much time as I spend with my family, I spend with these guys. And I want the Lord to use me there. I want to know what's going on in the world, and I want to know what's going on in the Word, so that when things come up, I can say, hey, wow, that's in the Word. Like, for example, in Zephaniah chapter 2,
In Zephaniah chapter 2, in verse 1, God says, Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord cometh upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. He's talking to Israel, that nation undesired, or doing undesirable things. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. And it may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation, and shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. If you know what's going on in the world right now, and especially in Israel, there are things going on with Gaza. With Gaza, the Israelis and the Israeli military are pulling Jews that live in Gaza out. They're like, hey, you know, this politically, this just isn't good for us, you guys. I know we have Gaza, and I know we took it fair and square, and I know that, you know, they're shelling us and everything, and we've got homes that are there, and but you need to move out. We need to back out. And in verse 2, it says that these things, this fierce anger of the Lord, come before this come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, the day of the Lord. Huh. The day of the Lord. Right before the day of the Lord, Gaza's going to be forsaken. The Jews are going to move out of Gaza. And Ashkelon, a desolation, Ashdod, Ekron, a bunch of cities right in that area, they're going to be taken out. They're going to be removed before the day of the Lord, and before he comes back and sets his foot on the Mount of Olives and starts dealing with a world who's rejected him. So you're saying that that's happening right now, and that's right before the day of the Lord, right before he comes back and cleans house. Yeah, that's right. That's happening right now, right before our eyes. And then if you, just for later reading, you can go into Ezekiel 37 and 38 and read about the nations coming all together against Israel, pulling all together, the people from the north, from Russia and Libya and Iran and Turkey, and all the nations converging on Israel, and where God actually has to come down and clean house, rain fire and hailstones and things down on these guys, and he steps in on behalf of Israel. All that stuff is coming down real soon. But our job doesn't really change. What the Lord has called us to, we should be using it as an opportunity to share the Lord with all the people that we come in contact with, the folks that we have relationships with, that we can say, oh yeah, wow, I just saw that in the news. Wow, Samaria. Oh, here's what God's word says about that. You know, wow, that's in the Bible. And start sharing. But the other thing that I noticed as I was reading through, especially in these major prophets, was God always has a way of protecting his kids, protecting those ones that are seeking him, that are following after him. Even when the nation of Israel split up into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom went whack and went off and did their own thing, and Judah, you know, stayed somewhat reliant on the Lord and stayed somewhat devoted to him for a little while longer, but then, you know, eventually they trailed off too. But he has this way of protecting those who are really his. Remember, if you go back to Genesis, and in Genesis, of course, with Noah and all the eight people that were on the
on the ark. The Lord had a way of taking care of them, providing for them, and put them through the judgment, and protected them through it. He also took care of Lot. Remember in Genesis 19, when Sodom and Gomorrah got smoked, the angels came in and they went to Lot and they said, "Hey, we got to get out of here. God has seen everything that's going on here, and it's not good. You guys gotta come with us. You gotta get out of here." And the angel said, "We can't do anything unless you guys are gone. Unless we get you out of here." So they grabbed him physically and dragged out, he and his wife and his daughters, and dragged him out and got him out of town. He took care of him, miraculously provided for him, took care of him. Abraham, remember the conversation, Abraham was like, "Well, there are righteous people in there. I mean, God, are you gonna clean house? Are you gonna smoke them all? If I mean, even with righteous people in there?" And he's like, "No." "Well, what if there's 40 righteous? What if there's 20? What if there's 15? What if there's 10? If there are 10 righteous people, will you destroy it?" "No." "Okay." And so he went down and grabbed the righteous ones, or grabbed the ones that were devoted to him, and pulled them out of there. Remember, we just went through in Daniel chapter 3 with Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those guys went into a fiery furnace, and literally, and the Lord protected them through there miraculously. Jeremiah. It's a pretty neat story in Jeremiah, and I won't make you go there. If you want to, you can. Jeremiah chapter 15, the Lord tells him ahead of time, he said, and we can take comfort from this. Jeremiah 15, verse 11. "And the Lord said, Verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to retreat thee, to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction." He's actually, you know, he told Jeremiah, "Geez, I'm going to take care of you guys. You know, the remnant, the guys that are, those of you that are following after me, I'm going to take care of you. Even when you get carried off into captivity, I'm going to take care of you." And if you flip over a couple pages to Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 11, Jeremiah writes, "Now Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent in Nebuchadnezzar and a bunch of other guys that I'm not going to even torture you with trying to pronounce their names, and all the king of Babylon's princes. Even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among his people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Go and speak to Abimelech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in the day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of men whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." You put your trust in the Lord, and he'll take care of you. That's the thing he told Jeremiah. You and some of the other ones that have followed after me, I'm going to take care of you. And here's the fulfillment of it. When Nebuchadnezzar came in and and took Zedekiah and put his eyes out and drug him out to Babylon, he grabbed Jeremiah and said, here, you go over here and take care of this guy. And whatever he wants you to do, do it. And just take care of him. I don't want any harm to come to him. And we're like, wow. Nebuchadnezzar, he just grabs the king of Israel and plucks his eyes out. But Jeremiah, he takes care of. And because of the Lord, taking care of him. And more recently, in Ezekiel chapter 9, where I've been reading kind of recently, the Lord did a similar thing to the remnant. If you start in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, and he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And the Lord is showing him a vision here of things going on outside of, things happening in the spiritual type realm. And he said, behold, six men came forth from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And then one man among them was clothed in linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of God, the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed in linen, which had the writer's inkhorn on his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of Israel. And then in verse 5 he says, and the others, he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. So the Lord has a way of marking those people who are his. And you see, as you see the Lord's heart, and you see the people that remnant that he talks about, these people, I'm gonna leave a remnant. There's a remnant. There's those who are following me and that are faithful. And they have these certain characteristics. Number one, there's a loyalty to the word of God. In Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He said, I was reading your words, and I ate them, and they were joy to me, and they were the rejoicing of my heart. I love your word. See that loyalty to God's word. And in the next verse, he says, and I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. He didn't want to be around any of these people who were mocking at his word, that were poking fun at God's word, and that were just running him down. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, Isaiah says, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, and thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And Isaiah just pouring out his heart in praise. That's another thing, you know, that marks that remnant, those people who love the Lord, just want to praise him, worship him. He's worth it. He's worthy. Your counsel of old, your faithfulness and truth, you've taken care of me. You provided for me. And here, like in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, the Lord said to the guy with the guy in linen, the man in linen, said, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof, that sorrowing over sin. Like, man, wow. It was, man, that's sad. There was an email that I saw. It was pretty wild, some pretty wild, you know, body piercings and tattoos and piercings and pictures of people that had some artwork going on with themselves. And I mean, piercings, whatever, but these were extreme. Some of the pictures, as you look and watch, there was one where a guy had actually punched a hole in his ear and stretched it out so it was wide enough so he could put a soda can through it. So he had a soda can hanging off his ear. And there was a couple of them where they actually had holes big enough in their nose so that there was a hole in the side of their nose or whatever, and you could kind of look up into their sinuses and whatever. And there were some with earrings, earrings all up their ears and across their eyebrows and down their nose and around. And, there was some with rings down their neck on either side, hoop rings down their necks with a shoelace woven into between them and like a shirt or something. And so, wow. And then there was the last one. There was, I think it was a girl. And I can't even describe it. It's not lawful for me to describe. No. And there had to have been literally 1,000. There probably 1,000. And all I saw was the neck up. 1,000 piercings or earrings or whatever miscellaneous stuff, 1,000. So, you've got about the surface area, and I'm only talking about the front, from the neck up, whatever, about, say, 1,000, I'd say. I didn't count them, but it was just sad. Like, wow. Looking at that, I'm like, there was some, people with tattoos all over themselves and whatever else, and I'm, tattoos, piercings, whatever. But this was a symptom of like, wow, that's just sad. Your parents must not like to see you coming at Christmas time. I don't know. But it was sad. Wow. And so, sorrowing over sin, and that's what sin does. And I'm not saying it's a sin to pierce your body or have tattoos or whatever else, but taking it to excess, and wow, it's just a symptom of other things, about something else, and sad. But the other thing is repentance. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 19, Jeremiah says, "Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth." Now that sorrowing that brings repentance to turn and go away from that thing that I was involved with, the things that I was doing. That's the remnant. But as I was reading through all this and seeing some of these common threads, I also saw a love, the love that God has for his kids, the love that God has for the nation of Israel, the love of God that he has for us, that he has for me. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, this is actually a familiar passage, because it's Jesus. It's Jesus speaking, or Jesus quoting. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And I read that, and I can see God's heart. He wants to bless his kids. He wants to. It's like, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to bring you in here, to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want to bless you guys. I want to bless you so bad. And, you know, we can understand that too, you know, with our kids. It's awesome that the Lord has given us children so we can see that. Man, I want to bless my kids. I want my kids to be blessed. And God so wants to bless his kids, wants to bless us. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, he says, "But this shall be that the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord," after he's dealt with their sin and after he's judged them, after he's come back and cleaned house and made things right and a blank slate. In Jeremiah 31, 33, he says, "But this shall be the covenant that I make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, for the least of them to the greatest. Thus saith the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." The heart of the Father. Man, I love you guys. I want to bless you. In Jeremiah 50, verse 20, it says, "In those days, in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of the house of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve." The Lord wants to forgive. He wants to grab us and squeeze us and put us on our knee, on his knee, and just love on us. He wants to love on those guys. And he will. You know, God's word is true, and he says he will. After this is prophecy, this is what will happen. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." He said, "I am gonna bless you guys. I'm gonna bless you, I'm gonna pour out my spirit on you, and I'm gonna watch over you." So let's be the Lord's remnant. We're here. We're in the last days. Things are wrapping up. The Lord could come back at any time. I mean, really, there's not a lot left that needs to happen before the Lord could come back and take us out of here. So let's be the remnant, and be the people who the Lord delights in. And if you find yourself, you know, lacking in any of these areas, you know, sorrowing over sin and repentance and praising him and hungering after his word, and you look at your life and say, man, I'm lacking here or there or whatever, ask him, Lord, give me that heart, give me that desire, give me that, I want to be that one. I want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'll just end with this. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We don't have to worry about the things that are coming upon us. If we trust in him, then he'll give us perfect peace. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness to us. Lord, we have been blessed abundantly. Lord, you have provided everything that we've needed. And Lord, you provided a lot of the things that we want, most of them, Lord. You're so gracious and merciful. And Lord, we want to be more like you and less like us. We want to change. We want to be a useful tool in your hand here at the end of your dealings with mankind and your end of your dealings with the Gentiles. Lord, call us to a closer walk with you. Lord, grow us in our relationship with you. Lord, give us a sense of urgency, Lord, and Lord, draw us closer to you. We just pray this and
Pray that you would bless us as we go, Lord. Make us successful as we seek to glorify your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.